Hey folks, welcome. Susan Baracco here. Happy Thursday. Hope everybody's doing great today. We have a nice group of people on here. Hello, everybody. Please, someone type in, say hello. Hey, Vicky, thank you. Hoping that means you can hear me. I always like to make sure my audio is working properly. Welcome, everyone. We have some new people in the program, so I'm seeing some new names. I'm seeing a few folks who've been around for a while as well. Welcome to you guys. Gabrielle, Laird, Mariana, Panina, I believe you're new. Philip, Vicky, I see Chris, and John is here. Thanks for being here. Nice group. And I see someone who is C back, and I'm not sure what your first name is. So if you would type in the chat if you can and just let me know who you are so I know how to address you. If you, we've got a minute or two, just a minute to go here before we get started. And I want to invite everybody to answer the just for fun question, because we do have some new people in the group, and I thought this would be a good way to kind of get to know each other. Hey, Laird, thanks. And then C Beck, whoever that is, signed in as C Beck. Please just type in. I saw that you just said hello. Just type in, what's your first name so I know who you are? Please. We've got a nice group of people today. Hey, Daniel, glad you could join us. Great, great, great. All right. So what's your freelance dream job or dream work? Ah, Panina, I believe. I'm hoping I pronounced that correct. You uploaded a document. I will be happy to ignore it. Not a problem. Hey, Cheryl. All right, Cheryl. Thank you for letting me know, Cheryl. Good to have you here. So Chris answered the question. He says his dream job is to develop digital marketing strategies and email campaigns for medium-sized companies. Nice. Nice, nice. And Scott says, dream job. That's what I'm trying to find out. That's what you need to find. You're here to find out. We're in the right place. Good for you. I have found over the years, I've been doing this for a while, 6 or 7 years or so now. So 7, I think now. And my dream kind of has changed and evolved. But you got to start somewhere, right? You know, when I started, I thought, yeah, you know, these are the kinds of things I want to be writing about. And that has evolved over time quite nicely, happily so. I've enjoyed some of it. I didn't enjoy as much. I got into it and realized, oh, maybe this isn't for me, and decided to pivot and move on. So Daniel says, writing copy and offering business strategy to the most successful online fitness coaches. Cool. And you have been honed in on that for a while, Daniel. I know you've been out of the program for a little bit, so good for you. And Cheryl says, not quite sure yet. Gravitating towards writing, web writing and in-depth like white papers. Good. Mariana, hi there. She says, working part-time from home, not far away from biomedical science. Gabrielle says, maybe longer form, something like books. Good for you. That's what I ended up doing. That's what I work on now. I focus totally on books, editing, and ghostwriting. All right. Vicky says, I actually love developing and graphics. That's right. You kind of do both. That's a really very advantageous combination. So love creating tactics, slide decks, etc. Sam, there you go. It's Sam now, writing lead magnet materials for small business. Yeah, working with small to mid-sized business can be really energizing. They're usually pretty hungry and aggressive, you know, depending on the industry that you're focusing on or you know, the success that they're having. It can be really a lot of fun to work with small business. Let me see who else has joined us here. Trudy, hey, welcome. Lots of new faces, lots of new names. We've got a big group here. 15 is a lot. So welcome, everybody. And I want to, for those of you who are new to the program, I want to just share with you quickly how this call works. What I like to do is start out with something just for fun, just to get people, you know, getting to know each other a little bit and sharing some ideas. And then what I'll do is I'll ask a couple of questions, and I'm going to dive into those in just a minute. And I'm looking for your response in the chat. And then when we get through those two, then I open it up to question and answer. And then you'll type your question in the chat and kind of get in line, if you will, as people start asking questions. And then if necessary, I'll bring you on live so that we can have a discussion. I'll unmute you. And then we kind of wrap up with, you know, what's been helpful for you so far today, and then what are your next steps? So we have plenty of time, which is a good thing because we've got a lot of people here today. I want to encourage everyone on the phone, whether you've been in the program for a while or you're just getting started, is please understand that all of you are in the same place, really. You're just getting your businesses off the ground. You're just trying to formulate a sensible message and get things up and running. So no question is, don't feel that it's foolish or too small or insignificant. I can tell you that everyone who's on the call has probably had that exact same question at some points in their journey. And same thing, this is being recorded. So many times people will go back and listen because they weren't able to join us here today. So it's going to reach a lot of people, but please don't be shy. Be ready with your questions. That's what we're here for today. You want to take advantage of this call as much as you can. Anna says, I like writing marketing materials, basic graphics, and eventually would like to get into strategy. That's something that I encourage, is to be thinking about everyone. This is a great way to set yourself apart too, is to be more of a strategist, thinking about the bigger picture for your clients and thinking about, I'm not just an order taker cranking out blogs. I want to be able to say, okay, what's the bigger goal? What are we trying to accomplish? So good way to it really opens up some pretty cool opportunities with your client base as well. All right. So I want to jump right in. My first question to all of you is wins. Ed and I like to start off these calls by asking about what's been a win for you in the last few days, the last 2 weeks, since I think it's been 2 weeks since the last time we were on a call together. So what's been a win? You know, it's been a really interesting climate in the world globally, and regardless of where you are, you're being impacted by the same thing that all of us are. But what's been a win for you, either large or small? It could be something simple that you may have accomplished. We want to hear about it. So type a capital W in the chat before you start to give me your answers. That way everyone knows and that I know that you're answering this question. And it can be something simple. And small, it doesn't have to be major, but we want to celebrate together because this is a community. It's a time for us to, you know, to be sharing our wins. And it could be something to do with the program. It could be something to do with anything that you want to share that's a win. And Sam says, finally finished session one and already started on session two. Congratulations. You know, these first two sessions, especially for those of you who are new to the program, the first two sessions are pretty heavy lifting. There's first two or three, lots to do and lots to think about. So congratulations for finding your way through that. Gabrielle says, I've got got a computer again. So I'm back at 100% working on my webpage. Good for you. I think you had a computer incident that something to do with liquid, if I remember correctly, and kind of took your computer out there. So good for you. Philip says, my win has been just getting underway. I've been at this for a while, but not really serious. So congratulations, Philip. Glad you're here. I think you're new to the program as well, if I remember correctly. So congratulations. It's amazing what can happen with your mindset when you sign up for a program like this and you do make that decision to, you know what, I'm doing this and I'm taking it seriously. So congrats. That's actually a really big win. John says, I finally finished the first session of the program. Congrats. Again, it's a bit to chew on there in session one when you're starting to think about, so who am I and how do I want to present myself to the world? Who am I going to focus on talking to and where are my strengths? Where are my core differentiators? That can be a bit of work. Lots to think about. Scott says he just signed up 2 days ago and only did the intro session. That's okay. Congratulations and welcome. I know you're brand new to the program. So I'm really happy that you're here, Scott, on the call. This is something that it surprises me sometimes. I've been working with Ed, partnering with him and helping to run this program for over 2 years now. And when I see people come through and I see their names, we see that they've entered the program and they don't participate fully. It kind of makes me sad, honestly, because this is a great opportunity to learn not only from our discussion, but from, I encourage people to, chime in and share their ideas in the chat. You know, I'm not the end all be all. I don't have all the answers. And sometimes someone out there on the call might have some perspective that's valuable to everyone. So I want to encourage you to share your ideas as well. But I'm glad you're here. The more that you take advantage of all of the pieces that this program offers, the better, the more you'll get out of it. Vicky says, I finally conquered the process of using Squarespace to the extent that I got my website submitted to yesterday for content. Yay. I will probably look at that tomorrow or Monday. So congrats, Vicky. That's huge. That is huge. And congrats for conquering Squarespace. It's I shied away from it. So, cause it was more than I had mental bandwidth for, but good for you. Good for you. Sarah says, going through the first session of positioning was a great exercise for me. This is exactly what I needed to think through to help me focus. Great. Great, great, great. Yeah, simple stuff, but lots to consider. So good for you, Sarah. Chris says, I completed the first 3 training sessions. Great. You're moving right along. That's awesome. Laird says, I think I finally figured out LinkedIn at least 90%. Joined a few groups. Good for you. Good for you. LinkedIn is a cool tool. You know, as for those of you who've been around a little bit, you know, a bit of an evangelist. I'm a LinkedIn junkie. I love the tool and it's done wonders for me. And I think it's a great tool. It's worth the time to get to know the tool, understand how to use it the right way. And then, you know, I even perhaps sign up for a paid version once you get a little further down the road here. Once you get through this program, that might be something to think about. And for those of you who haven't gotten to session 5 yet, in session 5, there are 2 extra trainings on LinkedIn that I put together for Ed and for all of you so that you can understand exactly LinkedIn, how does it work? What am I supposed to be doing? What am I not supposed to be doing? Really trying to help you get your mind around how LinkedIn, how to leverage it to build your business. All right, Cheryl spoke today with my friend who owns a B&B and mentioned a website and she seemed interested. Great. That's a really great way to start. You know, it's just friends and family. That's perfect. Congratulations. Scott said, with the insanity of the world right now, signing up for this series is a win, getting the courage to take the leap. I couldn't agree more. you know, it's interesting. I'm sure you've been bombarded with in your inbox with emails from companies you might be doing business with, maybe personally, you know, the gas company or the utility companies or whatever, sending emails that like, what, you know, where did this come from? So to be perfectly honest, Scott, now's a great time to get into writing, especially for business, because they're scrambling, they're struggling to figure out how to communicate with their client base, with their customer base intelligently. And they really need our help right now. So glad you're here. Daniel says, I sent a warm email last week to a distant contact. And while she couldn't afford me at the moment, she set up a call with me to get to know each other. That's great. She said she could use me in the fall when she does the next launch for her membership program. Absolutely. That's great. So not yet ready, Daniel. She's not yet ready to work with you, but she has expressed interest. Congrats. That is a win. So good for you. Mariana says, I've managed to finish and translate an article while my 3 kids were out playing outside and finally enrolling in this course after 2 years of thinking about it. I'm so glad you're here. And yes, there's other people in this course who have kids at home right now, and they're trying to just, you know, do it all. So congratulations for stepping up to the plate in this challenging environment where you've got kids at home, but good for you. All right. And Phillips is currently on session 2, rewriting my existing site on Generate Press. Great. Awesome. Active group today. So thank you all for sharing your wins. It's great to see that people are moving forward, and it's nice to have something really positive to focus on too, that you know is going to get you someplace different when you get to the other end of this program. You'll have a lot of information and you'll be off to a great, really strong start when you get through it. So, all right, Matt says, I'm using the work from home time to finish several courses I started that will help my consulting and writing business. Great. Just be careful, Matt. The only thing I would caution you against is to just be careful not to have too many things going on at once. So if you've got the time, great. But sometimes people get distracted by other courses, and you want to just, once you get started on this one, stick with it, make it a priority. And then, if you have time, fit in others, but just be careful not to get too distracted. I've seen that happen many times over the years too, is people just say, oh, I signed up for, learning how to write a white paper. Well, hold on a minute. Let's finish this. This one, this course is really important to give you that base to build your business on. So very important. And then go on and take your white paper course or whatever else you want. Absolutely. I'm all about training. But just, step at a time there. Scott says, just curious if I'm the oldest person here, will turn 57 shortly. Is this more of a young person's game? 100% not. Scott, not at all. Not even close. See, Sam? Nope. Look at that. So we're all in that place. So it's a real mix. You know what I see? Sometimes I see very young people coming through this, people who are in their 20s. And look at that, Scott, you're not alone. That was a great question. Great question. And thanks everybody for chiming in. And I'm right in that same area too, Scott. So this is not, the amazing thing about writing and doing this kind of writing is that you bring all of this institutional knowledge with you. Right? You've been in the workplace, you've got all kinds of experience that you bring with you, and that can be that's highly desirable as a writer. You're going to understand your industry at a different level than a lot of people. There you go, Philip. Having too many irons in the fire is what kept me on the sidelines for about 3 years. Too much training and enough doing. Thank you for that comment, Philip. Thank you, thank you. That's spot on. Exactly it. We get so caught up in, oh, I got to work on this, program. And oh, and then I haven't done anything on that program for a while. One of the things when you get into this program is that if you take enough time off, the system will notify me and I send out an email that says, hey, how you doing? Are you still with us? and it's automated because people do, they get distracted by life and by other things. And we want to make sure that you kind of stay in the game and stay focused and get this program. It's not like a 6-month program. It's supposed to be an 8 to 9 week program. We want you to get through it quickly so that you can get your business off the ground. That's the whole idea. So cool. Thanks for sharing. You guys are having fun on chat too with this whole age thing. That's really cool. So no, you don't have to be retired to be a writer, but I've seen many, many different age ranges come through this program and be very successful, by the way. Age is not a factor, period. Mindset is 100% the factor, the differentiating factor. All right, let's move on. This is great. I want to, in the beginning, I asked you what you were doing. If you already answered that question, then you don't have to reply, but this just helps me to get a sense of where you are. Most of you chimed in, which is great. So thank you for your being active and diving right in. But if you didn't have a chance to let me know where you are in the program, please do so in the chat right now. Is there something specifically that you're working on? Is there some piece of it? Are you still working on your positioning, working on the website, maybe starting to look at your network, those types of things? Anything in particular that you're working on? Just helps me a little bit in terms of knowing where you are in the program and how I can support you. All right. And I think many of you already did. So I'm going to move right along because we've got lots of people here today and I want to make sure that we get to all of you if you all have questions. And I want to start, this is now turned into our question and answer where you get to ask questions and I hopefully can answer, or other people can chime in as well. And Cheryl is still in session one, but she says, I've done some of this before, but trying to crystallize. Thank you. Mariana says, I'm doing session one, but I already have my webpage and had one client last year before baby number three. Oh my goodness. You got a lot going on there, my friend. But I am glad you're here. You're in the right place. So I would really want to impress upon you to type a Q in the chat, because with this many people, it'll help me to keep track of the questions and allow me and keep me from missing a question. So I don't want to do that. Keep it focused as much as possible and specific, and one question per person at a time. So we do have a pretty good group. So if you have more than one question, just jot it down. Type in one, let's start with that. The other thing too is that sometimes I'll answer a question or we'll have a conversation and then another question comes up, like, oh, you got me thinking about something else. That's okay. Just save it and let everyone in the group, we'll go around the room, so to speak, once and make sure that everyone has had a chance to get their question answered. So, and if applicable, tell me what you're considering. And yet, again, I want to encourage all of you, don't be shy. Everyone here is new. Everyone here is learning. It's probably the first business you've ever tried to launch. There's a lot of questions, and I absolutely understand that. I've been fortunate enough to be, as I mentioned, I've been partnering with Ed to help run this program for about 2 years now, and I have actually had a couple of different businesses over the course of my career. I've had a retail business. I've owned a couple of franchises. I've done a lot. And now I've been a freelancer, if you will, an independent writer for close to 7 years now. So I've done a lot of different things. And the first one that you launch into is frightening, really, really frightening. I think the first business that I actually jumped into was a retail business that my husband and I bought a month after we got married. talk about crazy. Woo. And neither one of us had ever owned a retail business. So it was from the frying pan into the fire overnight. And it was crazy. So crazy time, but lots of good learning. So I'm hoping I can help you with any kind of question that you have about where you are. If it's a lot of you are early in the program, is there a positioning question that you might have? Is there want to make sure that your expectations are really set well for how you should go through the program. If you have any kind of questions in and around that, what should I expect? What should I be accomplishing? Anything at all. Any kind of question is a good question. So let me see. Hey. I just want to go back because I think, Laird, you had said that you were implementing, you're working on session five, website's complete except for your bio page, but it can wait while I focus on LinkedIn. Absolutely. Just started, but the warm email idea got my interest. Yeah, that's session, I believe, five and six. So you've got a little ways to go there, Scott, before you, yeah, session five is email prospecting. So you get a little ways to go before you get there, but it's one of the things that Ed and I, part of what we connected on was our style of approaching prospects in a warm and a friendlier way that allows us to stand out and be less like the every other writer out there. So he's got some really good stuff in session five. All right. Couple of questions here. Sarah, you're first. In the positioning exercise, I created five differentiator benefit statements. Would the starter value statement use just one of those? So Sarah, I'm hoping that I'm going to unmute you. I'm hoping that's okay. Let's see if I can find you. Hey, Sarah, how are you?
Hi. Good. How are you?
Great. So tell me a little bit about the differentiators, because I understand that the starter value statement, would use just one of those? The answer is yes, but I want to hear a little bit about what you've created so far.
Okay, let me try to pull them up here, because I have kind of I feel like experience that's like here, and like I have one long corporate thing, which I'm really not, I feel like I don't bring a lot from that. Other than like, I can be professional, you know, it's not anything that I'm going to, I guess, be using. I did do a lot of writing email communications, but, I'm finding it hard to lean on that. So my other things just have to do with other experiences in my life. Well, like my degrees for one thing, or, my role as a leader in like a church or at a school as teaching, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, it's kind of hard to boil that all down into one, you know, value statement, I guess. I was, and maybe this will come in further lessons, like how you kind of highlight several different things, but I was kind of like, how do I just do this? Do I just have one value statement or what?
Right. Yes. Yes. And yes, you do. So do you have a sense of what industry you'd like to write for? Do you, are you, you know, have you kind of gravitated toward one in particular?
No. Well, what I kind of came up with from reading through and from going through the session one was, I really liked the idea of like mission driven organizations, but that doesn't necessarily mean I work at two different nonprofits, and I'm like, I can't afford to only work at nonprofits.
No.
but I'm thinking like, well, my friend that owns a gym, like he is like so passionate about helping people be healthy, or like my financial advisor is very like, it's his mission to, you know what I mean? Like, I kind of see it like that, like small businesses with people who are like, just super passionate about what they're trying to help people do, you know?
Absolutely. Well, you know, the other thing that comes to mind is I think about all of these eco-friendly product companies, right? So like I tend to look for those kinds of things that are, you know, I look for cleaning supplies that are not, you know, toxic and things like that. So there's lots of different companies that are creating, you know, they've got that earth-friendly approach, or the mission-driven being like, some companies will do, for every sale we make, we donate X to, you know, a hunger program or something to end hunger. I see companies like that. So companies are starting to get more into that whole mindset of, it's not just revenue. Obviously that's important to them, but they're realizing that the rest of the world, that their customers are looking at them and saying, well, what are you doing with all that money I give you every month or whatever? So, you know, that I throw your way for your products. They're realizing that people want to see companies taking action in different ways. So that's actually kind of a cool idea. And the other thing that I would recommend that you think about, and so these kind of go together, your positioning and your value statement and your industry or who are you going to be focusing on kind of go together. And what I want to challenge you to think about is, what would a mission-driven company, if they looked at your resume or looked at your background, what would float to the top for them and instantly stand out? So you said that you had a long stint in a corporation. Mm-hmm. Does that mean that maybe something in there, you understand how to work with teams? Maybe you've honed your experience working with teams. You understand how important it is to have a team, or maybe you understand corporate strategy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, you understand. So we're not looking at face value. Oh, well, she sat at this desk and she typed these letters every day. That's not what we're looking for, right? We want to kind of look a little deeper and say, if you've got corporate experience, it means you probably touched a couple of different slightly higher level things from management level, or like I said, strategy or something else where you have this experience that you understand what it's like on their side of the fence.
Okay.
Right. So what are they trying to accomplish? And then maybe take another look at all of those things you wrote down and say, because the whole thing, and this is for anyone who's on the phone and listening or listening to the recording, is that the things that are going to be important are the things that are important to the people you're trying to get in front of, not so much to you. So you also mentioned you have a couple of degrees, for example. are the people that you're going to be calling on, these industries, what are they, what would they think about your degrees? Would they go, nah, who cares? Or would they say, ooh, would they sit up and say, really, she's got that? I want to talk to her. So we want to make sure that whatever we're, you know, whatever we're highlighting are the things that our audience is going to look at it and find value in. So maybe turn it just a little bit and try that, and maybe work back through those just briefly to say, is that really, you know, here's where my value is. So if you've run a business for X number of years, that's going to be, it doesn't matter what the business was. The fact that you ran a business is going to be a value to small business owners. They're going to think, wow, she understands what it's like to be in my shoes. So those are the, that's kind of the approach that I would take, and take another look at those and see if that makes a little more sense for you.
Okay. What, just a quick one of them that I didn't use in the one that I wrote, but was like, just the idea that I left this, like it was, you know, quote unquote, a comfortable, although I hated it, you know, corporate job. I left it in order to do something that I feel passionate about, like, which is kind of the same thing that they would be doing.
Yeah. So, I like that. I like that a lot. So after X years in corporate, I realized that I needed something that was going to feed my soul, or that was really going to matter, was going to make a difference in the long run. And that's exactly what the companies that I support do. They're looking to make a difference in the long run. They're looking to have an impact that matters. I understand what that's like, and that's why I'm doing this. So that makes that makes perfect sense to me. Yeah.
Okay, cool. Thank you so much.
Excellent. Good luck.
Thank you.
Great question. Great, great question. I'm glad you were able to talk a little bit about that. So hopefully that's helpful to the rest of you too, is to just, you know, don't be so absolute with your background, but think about what deeper in my background would I bring that the people I want to be targeting are going to look and think, wow, that's pretty cool. That's cool that he or she has that experience or has that, that degree. That's what we want to pull out of your background. All right. Gabrielle, you're up next. And her question, looking at other sites, I've noticed that a lot of people in this program and otherwise don't have sample pages on their websites. These people also seem to be much more experienced in writing for their target audience than I am, plainly stating their years of experience in the industry. I know Ed encourages us to have one, but I'm wondering now if it might make me seem amateurish, particularly since they're not in the B2B sphere. So let me just, Gabrielle, I'm going to ask you to hop on here with me too, if I can find you in my list. Hold on a minute. Oh, there you are. I can't. Oops. There you are.
I think Hello?
Hi there, Gabrielle. How are you?
You can hear me? Okay, great. Hi, I'm fine, thanks. Hi, everyone.
Hey there. So tell me a little bit. I just want to recall, I know you've been in the program for a bit, and I wanted to make sure I understood. Do you have experience in the area that the industry that you're focusing on?
I've had, so I'm focusing on small businesses, and I've had one small business client, and I've had a lot of writing. Well, I mean, I have writing experience, but in like other, so in the more educational entertainment journalism kind of sphere.
Right. Okay. Well, I'm thinking as I'm, you know, looking back over your question here, I absolutely understand you, your question about, you know, kind of seeming amateurish. What I would recommend is that you start with a handful of samples, and you don't have to have a lot, by the way, two or three, maybe four, something like that, just enough to populate a page and to have something to talk about. And then see how it goes. You know, don't let this, don't get hung up on it. I think the thing that for me is, you know, as you start reaching out to prospects and you start having conversations, are they asking you for samples? Is that becoming part of, and if, as you go further down the path and start interacting with more, if it's not a big concern, then it, for your target audience, then don't worry about it. And, you know, don't bother to have it on your page. I went through that same iteration. I can tell you over the course of the years that I've been writing is that I started out, oh my gosh, I have to have samples and I'd have links and I'd have all the stuff on my website. And then as I started to, you know, to grow in my business and head in a particular direction, I realized my clients don't even care. They never ask me for a sample, or, you know, it just wasn't that big a deal. So as long as I explain to them, look, this is the kind of writing I've done, then, and if they were okay with that, then I was able to migrate away from that. So I think of this, Gabrielle, in phases. So start with, let's try this. Let's see what, you know, throw a few samples up there. Don't feel like you have to have 25 samples. A handful will do. And see how it goes. See what your, as you start to develop your relationship with your target audience, what's going on out there. You could also look for other, other competitors, people, direct competitors, people that are targeting the same type of audience that you are, and see what they're doing. Give you a better feel for that. I know it sounds like you've done a little bit of exploration there, but it's a good first step, and it's okay to do it this way and then decide, is this helping me or is it not necessary?
Yeah. And I wouldn't know unless I try.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Give it a whirl, see how people are responding. Some, you know, some companies are going to want some prospects are going to want samples. Some are not. If it seems like it's not a big deal, then migrate away from it. But for now, I would start with it and see what happens. And put a few out there just so that people can see. What I was doing too is I started not having them on my website, but I would offer to say, if you'd like me to send you samples, I will. And I would just send them separately in a private link, but only if they were asked, if I was asked for them. So it didn't show up on my website. But again, it wasn't until I got a little deeper into the process that I realized there's different ways to do this. So.
Okay.
Does that help?
All right. Yes. Thank you.
All right. Good luck.
Thanks.
Great question. All right, next question is Scott. Scott says, I've seen tons of writing job openings on LinkedIn, AWAI jobs board, elsewhere. Virtually none seem to fit my exact background, but some look interesting. Is it a waste to even reach out to some of those openings? Do most stick to their exact background request, or does going fishing sometimes pay off? Great question. And Scott, I know you are brand new to the program, so thanks for asking the question. I think that because you're so new, I think that I would like to see you get through a couple more sessions, get a little closer to session 5, where you're starting to get into the email prospecting, before you go in that direction. And you'll have more information and you'll be better equipped to, even if you were to reach out and apply for one of these jobs, that you'd be better prepared to answer that, the questions and provide the information that they are inevitably going to ask for. So I would give yourself just a little bit more time to get more organized. You know, you're early enough in this process that you want to have a more polished presentation to deliver before you start reaching out. And that's why this program is laid out exactly the way it is we want to help you to get to a point where when you start reaching out to people that you kind of have your ducks in a row, that you know how to answer questions, you know how to deal with the inevitable, the types of things like, do you have any samples? Those types of questions. At that point, then it's worth going fishing, as you say. Then it's worth trying it. And one of the things that Ed and I both recommend strongly is that you mix your efforts. So you're looking at, and I know a couple of people that have been on these calls before have heard me say this, is that you want to kind of mix your marketing so that maybe you're applying for a couple of these jobs here and there, especially in the beginning. Maybe you're targeting some small companies that, you know, might not have a very big budget that you'd be willing to maybe do a pro bono piece for, just to get some, get your first project, get some experience under your belt. Then you're maybe leveling up to that medium-sized company. And then you're mixing a couple of really bigger companies in. So you're really doing a nice blend of things, nice blend of targets, so that the first thing that pops, you can decide whether or not you're going to take and go from there. So right now, Scott, I would say hold off until you, at least till you get through, let me see, it's session 4. And then you can start thinking about things like that, but you really want to get the foundation of your business together so that you look good online, that you look polished and ready, and that you're suitable for answering and responding to some of these job openings. I just think that might be a little bit easier. You know, I mean, ultimately, Scott, it's your decision on how you want to approach that. If you want to try a couple, go for it. But I would recommend that you at least get through a little bit more of the program and get a few more things in order before you do too much diving into these things. But yes, sometimes going fishing does pay off. I hope that helps. Hey, Daniel. Daniel's up next. Daniel's question is about following up with solid prospects after the first email doesn't get a response. The program suggests offering another point of distinction that you didn't mention in the first email, but I don't feel like I have much new to mention that's not in my original email because I'm still a new writer. Could I make a new offer instead? For instance, if I mention a free strategy call in the first, can I suggest a 20-minute free website copy review as the thing I forgot to mention? I think it's a great idea, Daniel. You know, right now, one thing I will, I guess, just ask you to keep in mind is that, and I certainly don't have to tell you, we all know that this is, you know, the world is a different place right this minute for all of us. So people are highly distracted. And if they didn't respond to your first email, I wouldn't put too much weight on that. You know, they're, as I mentioned at the beginning of the call, our inboxes are full of emails from companies that we've never heard from. All of a sudden, everybody's pounding us with, "Hey, our response to COVID, blah blah blah." So everybody's trying to get their message out there right now. So there's a bit of buried under the pile going on there. Don't be discouraged by that, but definitely a really cool follow up or you could do offer a second type of, you know, I forgot to mention that I actually do strategy on website as well. And here's a, you know, maybe in, if you've got 20 minutes for me, I'm happy to, you know, to walk you through some ideas that I have about your web copy that would make it stronger. So yeah, definitely be super complimentary too, just to keep this in mind, because right now people are volatile, right? People are emotionally feeling the pressure of what's going on in the world. So keep in mind that you want to be, and whether it's this current situation or not, I feel very strongly about being complimentary. So, hey, I took a look at your website and it's really good. And you're kind of like, you know, not really telling the truth there in a lot of cases, because a lot of times you see websites and you just think, oh my Lord, but your website looks great. I'm wondering if you'd be interested in a quick, you know, 15-minute call so I can point out a few things where I think we could really strengthen it and make it even more powerful for you. So assume that it's already at this really high level, even if you believe that it's not, and then just say, you know, I think we could take it to an even stronger level for you. Let me know if you want to talk. So just a couple of tidbits there. I hope that's helpful. But yeah, you're going to have to reach out right now. Several times, most likely, just to cut through some of the muck. All right, Cheryl, you're up next. And Cheryl's question, I have 36 years experience in software development, ERP, report development, user training, 26 years with an animal feed company. I think my positioning will be front and back office tech, although that might be a little narrow. Should I also position in animal feed? I think animal products. Honestly, Cheryl, I wouldn't narrow it to just animal feed, because again, step back and think a little bit about if you have an understanding of how to talk to customers in the animal products industry, So it might be, you know, I have two dogs, two rescue pups. So I get lots of stuff in my inbox from the animal care, animal family products and so forth. I'm inundated. So, but there's a certain way to talk about, and if you read them, they're going to be similar, right? They all have a similar vibe, if you will. And they all have a similar approach to how they talk to their customers, how they talk to their client base. So I would maybe focus on the front and back office, but then broaden yourself on the other end of animal products, the whole animal or pet care industry, right, in general. And that might be a different way to mix your experience, because I think there's a real, and I don't know, animal feed, I don't know if that means livestock or if it means, you know, personal pets. There's obviously a big difference there, but still, you know, doing the two together really makes you unique. So I don't have a problem, by the way, and with you mixing those two together, saying front and back office technology for the animal feed industry. That's kind of cool. That's really, really unique and really, talk about a core differentiator. Those two things give you tremendous, tremendous value, I would think, for companies in that industry, in the animal feed industry. The only question I would have for you is, or what I would suggest, is to make sure that there's enough demand in the animal feed industry, because I know that there's plenty of demand in like front and back office technology, and because that translates to lots of different industries, lots of different industries. But animal feed, I don't know that much about in terms of if it's livestock. It's been a long time since I lived on a farm. So that would be my only question. Is there enough need in that niche to focus there? And you may not have an answer right up front. You may have to go a few steps in that direction before you make that determination. Very much like what I was talking about with Gabrielle. You don't know until you try it. You have to kind of take a few steps, start working that angle and see what happens. Work it for a month or two or three and see what kind of response you get. See what kind of feedback. Are you getting a lot of interest or you're not? And then decide, okay, is it time for me to pivot? Should I broaden? Should I narrow? What am I seeing out there that's helping me to shape the direction or the path I'm going to choose moving forward? So again, Cheryl, step at a time. You've got powerful, powerful background. I think there's a lot you can do, and making that specific to the animal feed industry might be a goalmine for you. It's hard to tell until you take a few steps in that direction. So I hope that was helpful. Let me know if you had a deeper question or would like to come on and explain a little bit more to Cheryl, if I didn't quite nail it for you and help you to think a little differently about that. All right, next question is Chris. Chris says, would you recommend some outstanding B2B copywriter websites for us to take a look at? I believe that the handout in session two, let me just take a look here. I believe the handout in session two has some sample websites in there. I think Ed put live links in the PDF itself. So I'm not sure, Chris, if you are that far along in the program. The other thing that I would recommend, Chris, is that if you, this is just something that's kind of fun to do, is to go and Google your competition. And it doesn't matter if they're, you know, who they are or where they are or anything like that. But if you're, let's say you're going to be working on in the healthcare industry, and maybe you've got a very specific niche within or target audience within the healthcare, and go out and Google that. So look for healthcare writers, right? That are, you know, copywriters that are in this, that are focusing on the same space. Maybe it's small practitioners. Let's say you're focusing on chiropractors or something like that. You can learn so much from a bad website as much as you can from a good website. So I would recommend that you go and kind of play with that a little bit and see. You might look at a website and go, ooh, I really like the way they handled this piece of it. I really like the way they did that. So you want to collect ideas, both, like I said, good and bad, from your competitors. And then you'll have a sense of what's going on out there. What's, you know, are these people, and you'll be able to tell, and I appreciated the, you used the word amateurish in terms of setting up, Gabrielle, setting up your website and using the samples. It's interesting. I can tell you that my website has gone through four or five iterations because I've grown as a writer and a professional. I've gotten to understand my client base much, much better. And as I've grown to interact and start learning what was important to them, that's when I really started to hone my website to really speak to them more effectively. So what I want to encourage you, Chris, is to think of this, your first website, what you're building right now at the beginning of this program, is your starting point. It's your stick in the sand. It is not the end point. I want you to get a website together that is really good, that you're really happy with, about 75%. I think Ed says 75 to 80% happy with your website. Meaning it's not going to be perfect. You don't know enough about yourself or about your industry and how the two of you are going to work together to create a website that's killer day one. It takes a little bit of time. And so give yourself that room to say, you know what, I'm going to put together a really great website, one that I'm happy to share with the world, that does a good job. It doesn't have to be perfect and it doesn't have to be super high excellence. You want it to be good enough to get you some momentum, get you started. That's what we're shooting for here. So definitely do some homework. Look at competitors. See what you like. See what you don't like. What you think is god-awful. Write it down like, ooh, I'm not doing that. But if you see elements that you like, then, you know, it's okay to copy them. You know, you go into these website programs. I use Wix for my website. They have templates in there for a reason. You know, it's okay. You don't want to reinvent the wheel. You really want to find a template that just works for you, that you feel is fits for your brand. And then just run with it and see how it goes. So I hope that's helpful. Great. All right. Mariana, you're up next. She's got a question for us. I submitted my question because I thought I would not make it, but here it is again. I write in English and Spanish. My target client normally can read only English or only Spanish. I write a blog and share content on LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter. How do I address both types of followers? Do I have to do everything double? I write about scientific and medical issues. English is the language of science. Most Spanish-speaking clients need products in English and cannot understand when I post in English. They feel like they're missing something. Sometimes I feel like I have a mission to translate scientific knowledge to a Spanish-speaking community in a non-scientific language. But there are not many clients here, so I prioritize English. All right, Mariana, I'm hoping you can come on. I want to unmute you because I want to just hear a little bit more about this. Hey, Mariana, are you there?
Hi, yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. How are you?
Okay. Great. Fine. Thank you.
Good. Well, tell me a little bit about who you've been thinking about targeting, because it sounds like I'm a little confused about what your priority is. I know you said you write about scientific and medical issues, but tell me a little bit about who you've been thinking about targeting or who you've been targeting so far.
So I was targeting small companies, like startups that are in the healthcare business. So my client was a startup for Parkinson patients, okay. also for families or of patients with Parkinson. And so I just developed like a lot of articles for them to explain the advances in Parkinson's or or what treatments they are now available for patients with Parkinson's. And so, and I enjoyed that type of work very much, because that was a lot of research, and that was also translating research to a plain language.
Understood.
Yeah.
Now, were you finding, I know you made a comment towards the end here that you weren't finding many clients who are looking for this, and I'm curious about that, and I'm wondering if maybe you're just, I mean, it's Parkinson's, that makes sense to me. I would think that that type of a company would really need your help. Have you been targeting like product companies, or because I'm not sure. It surprises me that there's not a demand. I guess that's the part.
But there's not a demand in Spanish companies. Maybe because I don't know, they don't want to pay that much. I mean,
Spanish going back to English. So Spanish speaking companies that want to translate their information to English.
Exactly.
Okay. Because I think that the reverse, there would be a significant amount of demand.
Yes, exactly. Okay. I don't only about the Spanish companies, maybe. Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Thank you for clarifying, because I was like, I'm not sure I understand. I would think there'd be, you know, for healthcare companies to translate their material, all of their correspondence into multiple languages. I think, you know, especially right now with this global situation that we're dealing with, always, I think this just adds more emphasis on it, but it's always been there, that need. Right now, I think it makes sense to prioritize and really focus on the English speaking companies and go from that direction. So what you might consider is in your marketing and in your outreach is to do maybe an 80-20 mix. So 80% of the companies that you call on, they're that English speaking, looking to translate to Spanish. And then 20% are some Spanish companies. So you're still out there kind of trying that. Let's see. You may come across one, but what I would recommend is that you put the bulk of your effort and your focus on the companies where you know there's a need and that you can get work. You know, you really want to build your momentum right now. You want to build your business, get some clients and get some experience. That's number one. And it sounds like you're doing that already. I mean, it sounds like you've got a little bit of experience here.
Yeah, a little bit, but I'm a bit lost now.
Yeah. So right now it's, you know, where we start, as I've mentioned before, and where we want to go are probably two different things, right? So we're going to start by really reaching out and again, prioritize your English speaking companies and really just go from there. I think you'll get more momentum and also, you know, broaden the reach of B2C. That's another thing. So B2C companies, meaning a company that's selling directly to the end user. Those are the ones. Like Parkinson's is a good example of a company that's trying to talk with the end user. They're trying to communicate with the end user because they want the person who has Parkinson's and their family. They're trying to communicate to their caregivers and their family, right? Yeah. So that I think would be a huge need for you to be able to do that and to be able to translate into Spanish in a way that people, Spanish speaking communities or clients, if you will, customers would be able to understand easily, not in a non-technical. So yeah, I would head in that direction. Really just focus on B2C. So in other words, companies that are looking to interact with the actual end user, if you will, the person who's going to use their product or service. That's where I think you're going to have a lot more momentum and a lot more opportunity. And then as you move through this, like I said, 2, 3, 4 months in, then you can decide, all right, am I heading in the right direction or do I want to pivot a little bit and try something different? But mix up a little bit, you know, try a few Spanish-speaking, Spanish-based companies as well here and there, but put most of your focus on the English one so that you can get that momentum going.
That's great. Would
that help?
A lot. But would you recommend like when I make like a post or something, doing it twice, like once in Spanish and once in English? That I was just not very comfortable with that. Like
no, I would stick with English. Because that's what, if your target audience is English speaking companies, that's who you want to talk with. Those are the people you want to attract, right? So stick with English for now. Mm-hmm. And then if you decide to call on or start targeting some Spanish companies, translate it and send it to them in, mm-hmm. in Spanish. You know, that mm-hmm. would be your, but those would almost be a one at a time. Anything that you post on LinkedIn, Facebook, or Twitter, I think should be English based, because that's mm-hmm. that's a scattershot approach. You know, LinkedIn, yeah. Facebook, and Twitter are going out to large audiences, hopefully. Mm-hmm. And so lots of people are seeing it. I would stay with English for all of those for now, until great, yeah. you get a better feel for, you know, how are the Spanish companies even utilizing LinkedIn and Facebook the same way? They may not be. And if they're not, then don't waste your time. Stick strictly yeah. with the English to attract that audience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, great. Yeah, thank you. Very helpful.
Yeah, great. Well, good luck.
Thank you.
Awesome. Ooh, great questions today. I'm so excited. All right. Great, great questions. Well, I am going to just advance. I'm still going to take questions, so feel free to continue to enter them in. But if you don't have another question, I'd love to hear from you what's been most valuable so far. We've talked about a lot of really cool things today. This has been a terrific call, and thank you all for being so eager and willing to participate and share your challenges. That's what this is all about. So great conversation today. But type in a capital V and let me know what's been valuable so far. And then Philip, I'm going to come around to you here in just a moment. You're next up with your question. All right. So Philip's question, and feel free to go ahead and type in the chat while I move forward here. Philip's question, how do I modify my current website that is currently live without messing it up before I settle on what I really want? That's a great question. And it's not uncommon for people to come into this program with a pre-canned, an existing website. And then how do I change it? So what I would look at, I would almost go page by page, Philip. This might be the easiest for you, is break it down a little bit. Because if you're talking about, oh, I'm going to change my whole website. No. Let's do page by page. Take a look at, and if you're comfortable, if you've reached a point where you're comfortable, you know what your core differentiators are, you know what your value statement is, your positioning, you're comfortable with that, then take a look at just your landing page alone. How does it match up? So is it way off, near, nowhere near what you've just developed even in session one and session two of this program? Then that's where you make that decision. I think a page at a time. And because some people will say, oh, can I keep the samples that I have? Or can I keep the blog? You know, for now, probably. I think you can get away with that. I think that the ones that, the pages that are most important for you to look at, the number one is your landing page, of course. And you want it to reflect, you really want it to reflect where you're headed. If you've decided, okay, now I'm going to start focusing on the healthcare industry, for example. If your current website doesn't speak to that audience, your landing page alone, then yes, you have to change it. You've got to make those changes because that's who you're trying to attract. So there's a couple of pages that I think are the most important for you right now, short of overhauling the whole thing, which eventually you're going to have to move in that direction if it's too far off. But the landing page or homepage, absolute priority. Number one, has to be updated to reflect your core differentiators and to speak to your target audience. The second page is why me, answering questions about why this target audience would want to work with you. Very important page to have. So those two are priorities. The other one would be your about page. You want to kind of craft that in a way that's story-like. And when I do my website reviews, which hopefully all of you will get around to putting in your website for review, what I always look for in the about page, and I'll give you this up front, is to tell me a story. Tell me the story of how you got from where you started to where you are today. And I want it to be more story-like. If a visitor gets all the way to your about me page, it means that they're interested. And so at that point, they actually want to know, so how the heck did you turn into a writer? If you, on the homepage, on the landing page, tell me you've got 36 years in the tech industry, right? And now you're a writer? Like, how did that happen? I kind of want to know. So for me, I want that to be more story-like and more personal, the about page, versus the why me page is all about my visitor. My visitor is still doesn't know me, doesn't trust me, doesn't, you know, not really sure about me yet. So my why me page is really going to be, here's my background and here's why you should care. Here's why it's important to you. Here's another piece of my background. Here's what it's going to do for you. Here's what you benefit by in my background. So your why me page in my mind will be, I have this degree. Here's how you win. I have this experience. Here's how you benefit. Because so it's, your website is technically about you. And I say this on every review. your website's technically about you, but it's really not. It's really about me, the visitor. Because I'm landing on your website for the first time. I have no idea who you are. I don't care. I don't trust you. I don't like you. I got a link. You sent me an email. I clicked the link to see who you were. I'm trying to find this out. So the goal on your landing page and your Why Me page are to tell them why they should care about your background, your experience, what you bring to the table. That's the whole goal. If your landing page today doesn't do that, then yes, you need to rework it. If you don't have a Why Me page that does that right now, yes, you need to rework it. Some of the deeper pages into your website, you can either, take them offline for a little bit of time while you're working on the other stuff, you know, trim your website down so you don't have as many pages and it doesn't get confusing. What we don't want is for a visitor to be clicking through your web pages and get confused. Like, why is this giving me two different messages? So I would say you don't have to completely rebuild every single page. Start with the key ones. Maybe take some of the others offline that might add to confusion, and keep it simple. And then start and then continue to work on revamping the website as you go. Because again, this is a stick in the sand. It's just to get you started so that you can reach out to people, and that when they click on that link in the email that you sent them, that the website matches what you were telling them in the email, that it makes sense, that they land there and they get the information they need. So a website really should be a powerful tool to help them get to know you, start to trust you, feel like, huh, this person knows what they're doing. I want to talk to them. That's the goal of your website. So I hope that answers your question, because that's a really important thing that I think people kind of, I'm a writer, okay? So, and we all are, and I understand what it's like to labor over a website and be married to it. Like, oh, I love the way this goes. Oh, my writing was beautiful. Oh, that's so terrific. And then someone says, oh, change all of that. And you go, what? That's my baby. I work so hard, right? And we all feel that way. And as a writer for books, 100% people are so married to what they've written. And when I edit, it's like, oh, this is going to be painful, but hold on. But that's the idea is, we want to make sure that writing just does, it works. It's a tool. It's not a piece of art. It's a tool. Think of your website as a tool. This is a tool that is going to convert people. We want that website to get people sitting back and saying, who the heck is this person, to leaning in and saying, where's the contact me button? This is the person that should be writing for me. That's what we want it to do. And that's what you should be focusing on as you build your website. So I hope that's helpful. It's a tough thing sometimes for, like I said, people kind of get wedded to what they've written. If this is a new start for you and you really want to make a difference and really want to get your business up and running, then do what you have to do to get the website where you feel it really reflects your value and it speaks to the audience. Those are the two things that are most important. All right. So a couple of folks chimed in on the what's been valuable so far. Sarah says it's nice to hear everyone else's questions and know that I'm not doing this alone. It was really helpful to speak with Susan and help hone in on what I'm trying to do. You're very welcome, Sarah. Mariana says, I like the way Susan answers questions, how she talks. She takes time with each of us and is relaxed. It calms me. Absolutely. This is a frightening thing you've just jumped into, by the way, and I understand that. I've started a couple of new businesses over the course of my career, and it is frightening in the beginning. So, but after having done this for several years, there's not a whole lot that's gonna, what's the worst that can go wrong? You start reaching out to people and they tell you, no, I'm not interested, or go away. Okay. So you try a different target audience, or you change your message up a little. I mean, nothing that you can do is gonna be that bad. You know, there is trial. This is a bit of A/B testing. I hope you're familiar with A/B testing in regards to writing. Your website is a little A/B testing. Your emails are A/B testing. It's like, let's try this and see if it works. Let's try that. See how that works. If it's different, is there a difference? Am I getting any more traction with one approach versus the other? So keep in mind, this is a starting point only. I couldn't impress that upon all of you more. It's really important to just stay focused on this is where I'm starting and let's see how it goes. So thank you, Mariana, for that compliment. I appreciate it. Sam says the whole process of positioning, it's like applying a sales funnel to your own background. Absolutely. That's a great way to put it. Gabrielle says the website talk has been super valuable. Great. Yeah, you know, website can be so overwhelming. We're so busy worrying about graphics and images and, oh, does it look sexy enough for, oh my goodness. Whew, message is far more important. Keep it simple. Keep the graphics simple. Don't overdo it and overwhelm your visitor. Vicky says, these calls are instrumental for momentum. Even when I have no specific questions at any given week, it keeps me on track. And her admission, I cheat and submit to what I call procrastination projects now and then, but much less than if I wasn't doing this program. Yeah, you know what? We all have those. Oh, my goodness. I still have those, Vicky, so don't worry about it. Maybe I can, go see if my website needs a little polishing. Really? What is that doing for me? Nothing. I love the term procrastination project because that's a beautiful thing. I love that term. So thanks for sharing. All right. And Scott says, agree, the website talk and the ideas were helpful. Great. Yeah, especially where you're just getting into that section of this program and you're really starting to focus on your website and what it's going to say. I'm glad that was helpful because that's what I'll be looking for. When I do a website review, I come at it from the perspective of your potential client. I know nothing about you. And is it gonna wow me? Is there some wow factor there that's gonna make me sit up and take notice? And I want you to just be thinking about that. Matt, you're up next with a question. And his question, he says, caveat, I haven't gone through the web training yet. That's okay. Is there a diplomatic way on our website to describe our ideal clients and screen out clients who won't be a good fit? For example, we like to work with collaborative clients who value writing, who aren't looking for cheap writing. Oh, my goodness. That is a multi-million dollar question, Matt, and it's a good one. I like that. So right now, I don't want you to be distracted by that as you get into, because you said you haven't gotten to the web training, the web module yet. So try not to be distracted by that. We all have to go through our share of painful clients because we don't know that they're painful till we get them. We start working with them sometimes. And you need to have a little bit of those experiences. I understand exactly what you're trying to accomplish. That's really hard to do. For me, it's more important for you and everyone who's building their website right now to attract the right client and attract the right prospect. And so what pain points do they have that you know you can help solve? What workload do they have that you can offload? What kinds of things can you do that you know can make their lives easier. That's what you want to be communicating, especially on the landing page, is, you know what, Mr. or Miss, creative director, you've got a team to manage, you've got deadlines, you've got projects. And on top of that, you got to find somebody who can help you write, you know, a good writer. So you really want to make sure that you're clear on your audience. And so for you, Matt, I would recommend that you think about who is that ideal client? Who is that? It's a mid-sized company, maybe, you know, because if you're going for a smaller company right up front, you're going to assume, you're going to have to expect that people aren't going to have a big budget. They may not be willing to pay. Maybe they're going to want to barter or maybe have you do something pro bono. And in the beginning, to get a little bit, Ed talks a little bit about all of this too. So if you haven't gotten to that, you personally, Matt, have not gotten to that session yet. But oh my goodness, there is value in taking work that you don't get paid for in the beginning to get some experience. But it's not someplace where we want you to live, right? We want you to park there. We want you to take a project or maybe two just to get, because you want that experience. You want to be able to add it to your samples page. We talked about samples page earlier. You want to be able to add that to your portfolio. You want to be able to say, I have three clients. And you want to be able to say that with confidence when you're talking on the phone with a prospect. Well, one client I worked with, I did this, this, and this for. That's when you actually did that, it sounds great. The confidence will come through. So there's some real benefit to doing some pro bono work. So that's why I'm saying try not to be too distracted by this right now. But the more important thing is to know my target audience, my sweet spot is, let's say, for example, it might be a mid-sized company. You know they have the budget. That doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to be willing to pay top dollar, but there's, you're already kind of leveling up and talking to that sweet spot, that client that you know probably has a budget and won't lowball you. One of the challenges with being new, and this happens a lot, is that if you don't have a lot of experience, you don't have a lot of samples, sometimes a company will recognize that. You know, they see, yeah, you know what, this person, or maybe you say that, and we recommend that you be truthful about this too, by the way, is, you know what, yep, I'm just getting started, so I'd be very interested in working on this project, and I'd be willing to do it at a reduced rate to prove my value. You know, so there's ways to talk about this, and it's, again, there's more information on this as you get deeper into the modules about how to handle these types of things. And you can always come back to us, Matt, and in the Facebook group and on other calls, future calls to address this. But on your website in particular, I would not worry too much about that. Focus on who it is you're trying to attract, who your model client would be, and speak to them. That's where I would focus right now. Are you going to get people who are going to try and lowball you 100%? I still do today. I've been doing this for 7 years. I get people saying, oh, that's so expensive. Yep. Yep. As a matter of fact, it is. Those are my rates, and you know, that's it. So I think it's a matter of, instead of trying to do it in your web copy, it's better to handle it in your one-on-one conversations on the backside. So you're going to pull this person through your sales funnel. They've come to your website, they're impressed, they want to talk with you. Now you're having a one-on-one conversation with a prospect. That's when you start dealing with they're lowballing you or something like that. Then there's tactics and ways to talk about that. So don't worry about dealing with it. That's a long answer to a short question. Don't worry about dealing with it in your content right now. Get your website up, get it built, make sure it's speaking to the right audience, and go on from there and see how it performs for you. All right, Vicki, I love your comment regarding procrastination. At least tweaking my website is semi-relevant. Yeah, true. Just after the 15th time you've done it, it's no longer relevant. Trust me, I know. And I made a sign to hang on my fire escape, thanking New York City heroes. That killed a day. I love it. But it's still beta. Love it. Matt, thanks for the great news that you're doing a pro bono project right now. So give yourself some time. The other thing I want to say to all of you is think in stages. You're in the very beginning stage of this business. You've got lots to find out, to figure out as you start dealing with people and dealing with prospects. Stage one, you're probably going to take some cheaper projects because you just need to get that momentum and need to get those projects under your belt so that you can learn how to work with clients. Stage two, now you start to fine tune and say, you know what? I'm going to be a little more discerning and I'm going to present myself differently so that I'm getting a better client who's not as interested in just beating me down in price. So think in stages and be patient with each stage. They're necessary. All right, Trudy, you're up next with a question. What about writing articles in your chosen field for online magazines? My direction is in the transportation field. So, Trudy, great question. And this is an it depends answer. Trudy, I would say it depends on where you are in your business. So the fact that you're in the B2B launcher program tells me that you're probably just getting started and you may have some experience coming in if you're, you know, thinking about writing articles for an online magazine. That absolutely is going to look great on your website. It's going to be great for your portfolio. 100% to say, hey, I write for X magazine. Absolutely. The one thing that I would caution you about is the same thing somebody mentioned earlier when we first started the call, is to try and not let it distract you from your core purpose. And right now your core purpose is to get through this program and to start landing, is to land your first client. That's get your first client on board, signed, first paying client. That's your goal. As long as you can fit this program in, not get distracted or taken off track by this article writing, then go for it. It's hard to do, but I would really encourage you and everyone on the call to focus on getting through the program and then start to build other things out. This is the goal of this program, is to help you to your first paying client. That's what we want. So we want you to really, you know, build that foundation, get all the pieces in place, and then start doing things like writing for online magazines. Awesome opportunity. Definitely something I would recommend, but maybe not in phase one, right? If your business is still in phase one and you're still just, you know, trying to find your way, get your positioning down, still trying to learn, you know, to fine tune that. Phase one is not the greatest time to be distracted by trying to write an article. I would rather you wait until phase two, when you're actually starting to do more prospecting. You're later in the program, learning about how to negotiate and how to talk with a prospect on the phone and how to qualify them. Because there's a whole technique, Matt, that just reminded me. It's called the wishbone technique of qualifying your client. It's a great way to walk a prospect, call them clients, I mean prospect, walk a prospect through a conversation that helps you to qualify whether or not are they just looking for that low ball option, or are they truly a client that's gonna be of value to you. And there's a whole script of how to walk a client through that. So it's pretty cool. Works very well too. So that's later. Wishbone, I think, is in session six, qualifying and ballparking. All right, Mariana says, what's been valuable? Mindset, not age, is the differentiating factor for success in this course. 100%. Oh my goodness. Look for direct competitors for the target market you're pursuing. Yeah, good way to learn about your target market. Just get a feel for how they're presenting themselves. And I think that'll give you a lot of good information. Well, we are winding up here. What a great session. You guys have been terrific. Lots of activity in the chat. I love it. Sharing ideas. Lots of great questions. So thank you for stepping up and asking questions. I have one last question. We usually end the call with an action item, and it doesn't have to be anything that we've spoken about today. It could be just anything that you're going to be focusing on in the coming week. And just type it in, type an A in the chat, and then what's your top action item for the next week or so? As we are heading into the second half of April, I can't believe we're in the middle of the month already. Lots to do right now. Matt says he's finishing up the positioning module. Good for you. Sarah says she's finishing her starter value statements and starting session 2 into the website stuff. Good for you. Gabrielle's going to keep working on her website. Scott says get through sessions 1 and 2 in the next week. And the next call isn't for 3 weeks. Gee, hold on. Let me see if I can check that for you. Session 2, Sam says getting into session 2, can't wait to get into my website. Vicky is going to update her LinkedIn profile and finalize her website. Great. Phillips says he's planning to finish up session 2 in the next week. Laird says he's going to send a warm email to someone on LinkedIn. Awesome. Cheryl's going to finish session 1, finish her WordPress course, and get my website at least started. Trudy, her action item is to keep focused, finish section 2, and send it in for feedback around my silly job that can't make up their mind if we actually have to work. Oh, good luck with that. Good luck with that. Let me just take a quick look here for you. Today's the 16th. That would be, I think that's correct. We typically have 2 calls, and April was a March, April. Today, let me see. So yes, we usually have 2 calls a month, sorry, and we do not have another call. So the next one is in May. So this is the last one for this month. So yes, you're correct. All right. And then Mariana finished sessions 1 and 2, also a draft for a manuscript, and publish my article about critical appraisal of medical literature. Wow. You got a lot on your plate, Mariana. John says moving on to session 2. All right. Awesome. Well, thank you, folks. Thank you for being here. Thank you for participating. This has been a terrific call. Lots of great questions. And glad that you're jumping in and moving ahead with this program. I think you'll get a lot of value out of it over the long term. But stay focused. Keep working your way through the sessions. Please, please, please be active on Facebook. Ed and I are there every day, checking to see what's going on and see if anyone has questions. There is a Q&A thread. Look for that. If you have a question for us that you want Ed and I to specifically pay attention to, please post it there. If you have finished your website, you want us to look at it, please post your website in the website review. And definitely don't be shy on website, on Facebook. Use that tool to interact with us. We're happy to help you out. So good luck, everybody. Stay safe. I am looking forward to seeing what you're up to. Keep us posted as you move through. Don't hesitate to post questions or celebrations in the Facebook group. We'd love to see those too. So take care, everybody, and we'll see you in a couple of weeks.